Blog Talk Radio. Peace, family. Hey, hey. All right, all right. How is everybody doing out there? I'm wishing everybody within the sound of my voice peace and love and light and joy and happiness. And how about Happy Black History Month? All right, Happy Black History Month. Yay. Yeah. The reason why I got excited, you know, for me, Black History Month is every day of every year, all the time, nonstop. But set it off a little bit. As usual, there are so many things going on in the world and in our world. And so I'm going to get to it. I also want to wish all the amazing Aquarians happy birthday. Happy birthday, Aquarius. Y'all are fantastic and beautiful. I want to say happy birthday to my girl, Caroline. Happy birthday to Moya Sore. Happy birthday to Laura. Happy birthday to my queen butterfly, Natasha. Happy birthday to all the amazing, amazing Aquarians out there. Peace, love, and joy to all of you. And may you all have many, many more years of wonderful, fantastic birthdays. And I wish you happiness, great health, peace, harmony, bliss, prosperity, success, joy, and so much love. Yes, that is my Aquarian birthday shout out. All right, y'all. So I know that you all are aware of what's going on in the news. And by the way, I just want to welcome everyone to episode 109 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am very, very pleased, and it's my honor and privilege to be on this network, the Neo Nation Network, and to bring forth the information that I share with you whenever I am on the air. I was not on last week. We re-aired the previous episode. Sometimes I think that that works when it's a real heavy episode because not everybody gets a chance to hear it. So if we re-air it, it's because it was powerful. Most of the episodes are powerful anyway, but I know I went in on that last episode, so we re-aired that last week, and I hope you all were able to enjoy that as well. This week, my top story tonight deals with the untimely and very unfortunate murder of Tyre Nichols. So Memphis police released the body camera footage of Tyre Nichols' arrest last week. The 29-year-old black man died days after officers arrested him during a traffic stop. But I wouldn't even go so far as to say they arrested him because they never took him into custody. They just beat his ass unnecessarily. Pardon me. Okay. We got problems. Okay, I'm going to move on. So police in Memphis, Tennessee on Friday released body camera footage from the January 7th arrest of Tyre Nichols. A 29-year-old black man who died 3 days after officers beat the brakes off of him. That's my own word, sorry. Beat and pepper sprayed him. The footage contains very, very graphic and disturbing content, and it gives a very graphic depiction of officers demanding that Nichols get out of a car following a questionable traffic stop of the unarmed man. Nichols is heard shouting, "I didn't do anything," as officers approach him with guns pointed at him. Officers can be heard shouting multiple obscenities towards Nichols during the arrest. I still can't call it an arrest because you never got him in custody. In any event, oh boy. Nichols is a FedEx worker who was known for his love of skateboarding. He was arrested after he was pulled over for alleged reckless driving. Maybe he was looking for something in the car. Maybe he dropped something. That happens sometimes. Goodness knows you can take your eyes off the road for a couple of seconds and the car will begin to veer off to the right or the left because you're not really focused on it going straight. That happens to all of us all the time. It might look like reckless driving, but it's not really reckless if A, there's nobody around to hurt, and B, you do have control of the vehicle. You didn't lose total control of the vehicle if you drop something or say you spill something while you're driving. These things do happen, okay? And we're not known to run into other vehicles or have major accidents as a result of this. One thing I see people speeding and driving like they're crazy. But any event, obviously he was in his neighborhood. He was in a neighborhood, and it happened to be his neighborhood because he was heading home. I believe his mother's house was like 108 feet away from where he was assaulted. I still feel like there's more to this than they are explaining, because the way they beat him up, it seemed real personal. I myself am speculating when I say that. The news is not saying that. But something just didn't seem right to me in his assault. Now, I'm going to get back to that shortly. Nonetheless, the officers said that he fled the scene on foot and was captured. Nichols told officers he was experiencing shortness of breath and was hospitalized with serious injuries. He died on January 10th. Officials have not disclosed the cause of death, but Nichols' family said he suffered from cardiac arrest and kidney failure. His family alleges the arresting officers beat and pepper sprayed him and shot him with a stun gun. Mind you, we see all this in the video, plus more. On Monday, last Monday, Nichols' family, accompanied by civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump, viewed the body camera footage of his arrest. The traffic stop happened 2 minutes from his home, his mother said, and he was beaten by the police within 80 yards of where he lived. Oh, so sad. Crump described the video as deplorable and heinous during a press conference last Monday. Memphis Police Chief Sherilyn C.J. Davis called the footage and beating of Nichols incomprehensible and said the video is about the same, if not worse, than the 1991 assault of Rodney King by police in Los Angeles. The Memphis Fire Department confirmed to the Huffington Post, where I got this article from, that two employees involved in the initial patient care of Nichols were relieved of duty pending an ongoing investigation. The department did not provide further comment. Desmond Mills Jr., Justin Smith, Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, and Emmett Martin III were identified as the officers involved in the Nichols deadly arrest. The officers were part of the Memphis Police Department's Scorpion Squad, whose name stands for Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhood. How oxymoronic is this? Trying to restore peace, but you beat a man to death. The police squad introduced by Davis in 2021 is tasked with handling violent crimes in the area. Meanwhile, Tyree Nichols was not committing any violent crime. I would really reach and say he probably wasn't committing any crime at all. Because a little swerve while I'm driving is not a crime. Moving forward. The Memphis Police Department announced that following an internal investigation, all five officers involved in Nichols' arrest have been fired for violating department policy and practices, including those pertaining to excessive force. All five officers were charged with second-degree murder by a grand jury. Shelby County records say the officers were additionally charged with two counts of official misconduct, one account of official oppression, one count of aggravated assault, and two counts of aggravated kidnapping. The officers were all released on bond. I'm still confused about the kidnapping part. I need additional information, and I know maybe some of you may know some things, and you could hit me up and let me know more in depth about the kidnapping part, because, okay, they beat the bricks off of him. 911, the ambulance comes. They're delayed in some of the care that they're giving him, but I'm trying to understand the kidnapping part. I'm having a hard time with that. In any event, of course, activists and supporters gathered for a vigil for Nichols on last Thursday night in Memphis. An independent autopsy review by Crump and attorney Antonio Romanucci, indicated that Nichols suffered extensive bleeding caused by a severe beating. No kidding. On Friday, Crump and Romanucci demanded that the Memphis Police Department dismantle the Scorpion unit. A photograph of Nichols in a hospital bed showed him with a swollen eye and other parts of his face disfigured. His family said his face was unrecognizable. Activists displayed the photo during protests in Memphis, urging officials to released the footage of the January 7th arrest. The case was handed over to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations. And last week, the Department of Justice and the FBI announced a civil rights investigation into Nichols' death. Now, this is the problem I'm having. Number one, the five officers charged with the murder are black officers. So we're going to take a moment and peel that back a little bit. Because like I said, when I'm watching some of this footage, it looked a little personal. I don't know if he started dating somebody's girlfriend or I don't know. It looked personal. They were beating on him and wailing on him like he stole something or like he had had a relationship with somebody else's wife. That's how they were whooping him on him. There was one officer standing in front of him, literally using all of his energy to kick him in the back, in the face, in the chest. Where in police procedure does it say that you can kick any defendant anywhere at all? There is something wrong. It ain't about no scorpion unit, and it's not even about police reform, because I keep hearing about police reform. These are five black men that whooped this black man's behind. So let's look into that a little bit. I was telling my husband how I would love to be able to go and interview them and give them a real psychological analysis. I would love to do that. I would love to try to discover the level of self-hatred inside of these brothers that would lead them to commit such a horrible act. These are police officers. We're not talking about a regular gang. This isn't M15. They were talking about five black, obviously black police officers killed an obviously black man. What is that? What is that? I smell self-hatred. I smell discrimination. I smell frustration of being in a department which probably doesn't really acknowledge you for the things that you do well. I smell individuals with very low self-esteem who maybe thought that they would actually get extra points for whooping a black man so bad. There is something truly wrong, not just with our police departments and justice system. No. Honey, this goes back to education. This and is going to tie into what I'm talking about a little bit later tonight. But one thing I know, I am a true case study in what a person becomes when they are raised in an Afrocentric household. And I'm not just talking about Afro puffs and dashikis. I'm talking about knowledge of self, knowing about our history, knowing about all the amazing empires throughout Africa that we flourished in, not just Kemet, but Kush, Punt, Ashanti, Mali. There's so many, it's ridiculous. The Bamiliki of Cameroon, the Indibele people. I mean, there's so much that we've done, it's not funny. And done well, done very, 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 very well. For tens of thousands of years, if not hundreds of thousands of years before a white person ever existed. I knew this when I was three. I came up in it. This is why I always, all of you wonderful parents out there with beautiful black children, give them their history. And if you're learning it together, so be it. If you don't know jack bone about your own history, fine. It's a fine time to learn, especially when you have children. So I never thought less of myself. I never looked at other black people as niggas. I never looked at other black people as inferior or even having the potential to harm me or steal from me. Or I've never looked at my fellow brothers and sisters that way. So my vibration is completely different. And I know some people could say, oh, you know, you're so nice and you're so loving or you're so sweet. Oh, honey. Okay, I got you right now. Sorry, babe. I thought he was going to use the phone. In any event, I just was never taught bad things about black people. In my household as a child, all of us as black people were one family, a unit. We all had the same struggle. We were all trying to break barriers and break and have breakthroughs and do all kinds of things. We were trying. That was the whole MO of what we were doing. It wasn't about throwing shade on another black family or another friend of mine or anything or one of my schoolmates. It wasn't about taking advantage of someone or pushing somebody else out of an opportunity because I was being greedy. No, none of that existed in my whole life. Still doesn't. But it did not exist in my household when I was a young child. Not at all. And I read Shakespeare and I was privy to Picasso and all these other things. But at the same time, I had such a great sense of self. They even told that to my parents when I was in nursery school, that she will not have to worry about self-esteem. She's good to go. And I had that when I was 4. So it's up to you as to how you decide to raise your children. Because you can raise your children with the mentality that the white man's ice is colder, and they're going to run with that. And that anything black is bad and not good or not good enough or please. And I had no such belief as a child, and I still have no such belief as an adult. I love us. I know why we're crazy. I know why we're crazy. And this goes back to these officers. Because when if you're not raised with a sense of self and knowledge of self, not just a healthy sense of self-esteem, but knowledge of self. Knowledge of self means that you as a black person are aware of the many contributions in ancient African history as well as modern African history. And it goes all over the world. African history is not just in Africa, obviously. We civilize every corner of this earth. And although we are not given the thanks or the credit for it, I still know it. It doesn't erase it. To me, a prime example, I wouldn't even be surprised if they got white wives. I would not be surprised if one of them had a white wife. I would not. Not that you can't marry interracially. That is not what I'm saying. All I am trying to stress is when you know who and what you are and you are proud of it and nobody can shake it from you, you can't be dissuaded, and you also cannot be put in a position where you will take advantage of and or harm your brother or sister. No, you will not. Not when you have knowledge yourself and you know who you are. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's why we out here committing all these other stupid-ass crimes and robbing niggas for sneakers, part of my vernacular. Or running into the bodega with a ski mask on and trying to hold people up. All kind of stupidity. I know we're very disadvantaged. We do not have the opportunities that other groups of people have. We don't get loans. We don't go to school on the same level. There's a lot. We're impoverished on other levels. Many of us are relatively incarcerated in housing projects. I'm not talking about the penitentiary. I'm talking about a housing project. That's like jail. Anybody on this call right now, on welfare, if you're a welfare mother and you got all these kids and the government is supposed to continue to take care of you, pumpkin, they about to roll all that back. They've been rolling it back now for several years. I have been to the symposiums where they talk about getting rid of welfare. That means you. So if you don't change your game and step it up a bit and teach your children and yourself knowledge of self, this is what you need to do so that you can have enough internal fortitude and testitude to be able to break through. Maybe you can start your own business. Maybe you can start a homeschooling business. There's so many different things that you could do. But you just have to have the will and the thought to do it. Where there is a will, there is a way. So welfare is not the way, and y'all got to be real careful with that because they will take your children. I have worked for Child Welfare Association. I know what I'm talking about. Get it together. We are so behind as a unit. we're behind. Individually, yeah, we're making progress here and there, and some of us look like we have it all and we've made it. And I am not about to sit here and say, oh, I want my life to be like Beyonce. Oh, hell no. I don't want nothing to do with that kind of life, if you really want to know. I want nothing to do with it. Watching all these black people, you got Jay-Z walking around with a hairstyle that resembles Basquiat, the artist, can't put a comb through it. You got all the money in the world, but you don't do nothing to help your own people in mass. You know, school programs or after school programs or athletic programs or music programs or anything, science program. How about a STEM program? Nothing from Jay-Z and Beyonce? Beyonce and a half of Destiny's Child did something to do with daycare center somewhere in Texas, but that was when you were Destiny's Child. You're billionaires now. What are you doing for our community? So I don't really give a damn. I don't want to hear about, oh, Beyonce this, Beyonce that. She just got something like, what was it, $14 million for one performance, and she's not even that good. She's still doing the same wacky-ass dance moves. She's not even that good. And I'm using this as an example because so many of us idolize entertainment artists and sports figures. No way. Just because you can sing and dance and write a song, that's beautiful. You can shoot a ball or you can get the touchdown, that's nice. No, no. To me, I don't really idolize humans, but if I were to idolize any humans, most of them are dead, and they're scholars of whom most of us don't even hear about anymore. I give thanks to the scholars who helped me obtain knowledge of self, because I can sing and dance all day, but if I don't know who my ass is, I'm just going to be a toy in the game. So going back to this horrific event where these five brothers took this man's life, and these five brothers had five badges. What psychosis have they gone through? What have they been through? What levels of abuse have they experienced to enact such violence upon one unarmed individual? It isn't like they got a call about a bank robbery or a rape that was just committed or that he just murdered two people at the 7-Eleven. That is not what happened. Anyone deserves to die in those circumstances either. What I'm getting at is the fact that black life, even amongst black people in this country, doesn't matter. And it should. And I'm not talking about a Black Lives Matter t-shirt or an organization that took millions of dollars and didn't really do much for victims of extreme violence. I'm just talking about it in perspective. Black Lives Matter. I know my life matters. I know all of your lives matter. But there's this overarching energy in this country especially. Other parts of the world as well, because racism is worldwide. And please don't think it's not. It is, unfortunately, all over the world. But we have to look at it for what it is. And I continue to know that a human's mind is pretty much well-developed by adolescent age. But by the time they reach 7, most of their ideals and how they think of things and what, most of that is really established already. So if we do not teach children, not just black children, but white children, Asian children, Latino children, all children, true African history, which would mean that the white people would have to get up off of the pyramids, mathematics, algebra, science, beauty, music. They'd have to get up off of that because they're trying to sit on it like they actually created it, and they didn't. We did. We created all of it. So I just hope that this particular very unfortunate and sad incident will also shed light on the psychosis, black women too, but I know we have a lot more male, black male police officers than female police officers. And for this to happen, and not one of them in the little bunch was like, yeah, yo, bro, nah, stop, let up, don't do that. Not one person had enough conscience, heart, empathy, anything at all, feeling. I can't really stand by and watch that type of assault. I'm not that type of person. I'm not. I'm not one to want to watch somebody get beaten within inches of their life. No. It's not entertaining to me. I don't watch snuff films. It's not entertaining to me. My husband will tell you I don't like to watch a lot of violent movies. Even though everything you see in entertainment is either hellacious or very gay. And if not, it's just misogynistic and stupid. What lovely choices we have now when we turn television on. In any event, I just want you all to pay attention, and I want you to think about it. Maybe have conversations at home with your family about it. Talk to your children about it. But the most important thing I want you to walk away with is when we don't know who we are liable to be anything else. I am proud of my heritage. I love being who I am. I would not want to be white. You can't pay me. You cannot give me money. Be like, oh, here's, we'll give you $5 billion if you just turn white tomorrow. No, I don't want to be white. No offense, I don't. I love who I am. I love the fact that the Most High continued to decide to put me into this body. I'm very, very honored by that. I love it that I come from such knowledgeable, strong people who weren't easily broken, although people did try to break them. I love that. But if you don't know who you are, or you just take your narrative from slavery, not knowing that the individuals, the primary individuals that were enslaved during slavery, were the royalty of specific nations and countries in Africa. Ghanaian kings and queens and princesses and princes were kidnapped and enslaved. People from Mali, Nigeria, Cameroon, royalty was enslaved. Because again, you're going to enslave people who don't know, have no skills? You're going to enslave people who don't know how to do nothing? Are you going to do that? No. You're going to enslave the best of the best. So even if your lineage in this country leads back to enslaved Africans, 9 times out of 10, those particular individuals were highly intelligent and sometimes often royalty. Because you have a king or a queen or a prince or a princess and you strip them naked and put them in a loincloth or make them wear a potato sack, it doesn't mean they're still not a king or a queen or a prince or a princess. Do you follow me? It's still inside of you. Claim it. But you got to know it to claim it. Very, very interesting. It's a sad affair. It's very, very sad. Because this brother was really minding his business. I don't know what it is that he retributed in order to have such a transition. It doesn't go unnoticed. It's not in vain. And it continues to shed light on what is necessary in this nation in order for us to be able to claim that we're the best nation in the world. Because we're really not. Sorry. There's a lot of stuff broken as God knows what over here. But again, they're still running with that whole adage of if you tell a lie long enough, it can become the truth for people. And my thing is, if our children don't know the truth, then the lie will continue to get purported to me and tell me that the ancient pyramids of Giza were created by a pale-skinned person. Ain't no way in hell you're going to get that over on me, because I know that that is not the truth at all. You can argue me till you're blue in your face and you'll never get that off. But somebody who doesn't know, you can get that off. Knowledge is key. I continue to reiterate that. That is what this program is about. I am doing my best to share knowledge with you because there are people and there are modalities and there are others in place that truly seek to erase us. And as long as I have breath in my body, I can't let them get that off. I can't. So even with this particular incident and with this crime, I am looking very closely at these five black officers. I really am curious as to what it is that clicked inside of them to make them do what they did and or stand by and not do anything. So again, I say, it's not about prison reform. It's about educational reform, and we see what's happening with that. I'll get to that a little bit later this evening. Moving forward, I'm not sure if you all were aware. I'm sure there were a few of us that were. But, you know, what's up with those Chinese spy balloons? All right, if you didn't know, two different Chinese spy balloons were spotted over our airspace from last week. One of the last ones was seen over Missouri, but we shot it down, I think, 2 days ago. But the other one was last seen over South America, and I'm hoping that one will get shot down too. These huge white balloons that have satellite surveillance on them were flying at 60,000 feet. For several days, like probably at least 13 days. Takes a while for it to get over you. Okay? So think of that, just for a moment. New spy technology, quiet, can't hear nothing. But it's visible in the sky when there's no clouds. I'm wondering how much and what type of data they retrieved. Literally hanging around over American airspace. Now, what's interesting to me, and this is another problem I have, and it could also be because we are so much in bed with China, that maybe we didn't want to do anything. We didn't want to say anything either. The news took a long time to try to cover these two big-ass balloons flying over our airspace when normally nothing that is not invited or is not cleared cannot exist in our airspace. We will shoot it down immediately. This sucker was hanging out for days. It was seen in the skies above many different states. The Chinese had claimed that I think it was some type of weather situation and it blew off course. I really don't believe that, especially considering the fact that there are two and they're fixated over where? Here. They ain't over China. They're here. How blown off course? What you talking about? Again with the lies. So we'll see where all of this leads. But there's a lot going on, and the news isn't saying anything about it. A few weeks ago, I had received some real serious intel, but I was like, I don't even want to say this. I don't even want to put this out. Now I will, and I can, because there are videos about it on YouTube and different places. But if you're not aware, the Russians have a warship with hypersonic Zircon missiles of the Atlantic Ocean. It is past the Azores, and it's headed this way. This is a Russian warship. And I'm not joking when I say hypersonic Zircon missiles. Sounds like something from Star Trek, but it's real. All right? And then I found out today that there's another warship identified off the coast of Hawaii by the U.S. Coast Guard. And they have said that that is a Russian spy ship. So now we have ships in the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. It's as if they're trying to flank in on us. Like, you know what I'm saying, how you get cornered? That's what I'm seeing. Now, I already am aware of the fact that Russia has been quite ticked off about the involvement that the United States has with Ukraine, within the Ukrainian war, as well as NATO, blah, blah, blah. But it is upon themselves to come all this way. Now, it's easier for a Russian warship to get to the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Hawaii than it is for a Russian warship to travel all the way through the Mediterranean Sea from, I believe, like the Black Sea or Baltic, one of the other ones over there, to the Atlantic Ocean to get to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Really? This is heavy. At first, I didn't say anything because I said, well, it hasn't been put out there yet. I trusted my intel, but, you know, still in all, I didn't want anybody to panic. I still don't want anybody to panic, and I'm realizing that they're probably not putting it in the news because they don't want crazy white folks to try to go out there on their little ships and start shooting, because they'll do that. Same time, I'd like to know what's going on. You turn on the news, and all they are talking about is the Super Bowl. All we're hearing about is Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, you know, and we're an Eagles household. But at the same time, I would like to know if World War III is getting ready to jump off. We have one Russian spy ship and one Russian warship in our oceans, Pacific and Atlantic, at the same time. Y'all remember, Mother was talking about stock up on your canned vegetables and stock up on your dry goods and stock up on water, candles, you know, make sure you got a generator or two, even a solar-powered power pack or, you know, water filters, all these types of things. Mother's been talking about this for a while. And I didn't know whether it was going to be from an outside attack or something stupid that the United States does to itself, because we've been known to do that too. But this definitely has me concerned, because, again, the news is not saying anything about it. Not the regular national news networks like ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, all of that. I ain't hear nothing about Russian warships off of our coast. So if this is the first place you've heard it, this is the first place you heard it. But they're out there, and you can Google it, and you can look it up on YouTube. You know, and again, I'm also trying to figure out how the Russians got this far. Like, you got to pass a lot of our allies just to get into our waters. Okay. So, how do they get that off? Now, I'm being told that they're not allowed to continue further. Like, there's a bit of a blockade happening, and they're trying to stave them off to prevent them from coming any closer to our shores. But dad never, they done got this far. Always ask yourself and follow the money, like I always say. What is really going on here? Because we're supposed to be enemies. We're not allies. It's slightly akin to if Hitler decided to sail one of his ships into the ports of Spain or France or whatever, and nobody's going to do anything about it. It's almost like that. Vladimir Putin is not our friend necessarily. You know, and I'm not on the Ukrainian side either. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm sorry, but I feel like they bit off more than they could chew, and they knew what they were doing when they provoked him. It was very clear. I covered this over a year and a half ago, but a year ago. They're not the sweetest, most innocent individuals in this particular situation. No, they're not. Aside from harboring a whole lot of neo-Nazis, Ukraine is also home to a lot of biochemical companies and pharmaceutical companies. And unfortunately, the way the United States works, if you get in bed with these companies to a certain extent, then you're doing their bidding, and generally their bidding is against the benefit of American people. It's generally just to fatten their pockets. Because you do have to ask yourself, why is the United States going to such lengths to try and help Ukraine, considering other countries in the world that are also at war, and NATO nor the U.S. is doing a dang thing about it? Oh, but Ukraine, which is nice and lily white, and we got pharmaceuticals and, you know, those great neo-Nazis over there. You know, let's continue to give them billions of dollars. Meanwhile, we need billions of dollars right here. We need housing alternatives. The homeless problem in the United States is exponential. It is growing way out of control. And depending on where you are, L.A., Vegas, where you can see these people living in tents on the street. It's also causing a very large problem with sanitation, because these people are breaking the golden rule, which was you don't boo-boo when you eat, and, you know, whatever you eat comes out. So they don't have porta potties. They don't have bathrooms to go to. So they defecate in the street. That causes disease, just so you know. So in my mind, and others who I've spoken to, we have more problems right here at home. We don't need to be spending billions and billions of dollars to save some other little country. Sorry. We need help right here. Nonetheless, they're going to continue to play the game. Moving forward. I definitely got an attitude. I think it was last week when I found out that the LGBTQIA people were offended by Aretha Franklin's song, Natural Woman. Now, you know that's a classic song. You know, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman. Just saying about Natural Woman. Like, what the hell is really happening here? First of all, the song came out in 1968. I had to be at least 2 years old at the most. And pardon me, but the alphabet people hadn't stolen various letters of the alphabet back at that time in order to identify oneself yet. We were just trying to be black folk, doing everything we could to simply survive and thrive and possibly get a crumb or two off of the American dream cake. How is it that a song, a beautiful, fierce song, is getting your crow? You're offended by the term natural woman. Listen, y'all gotta forgive me because I can't empathize with this. I cannot, sorry. It's very interesting right now for me. The paradigm is interesting as a black woman, being a black woman. I'm black first, and that's been an issue for a very long time. I'm a woman second. I'm female. I'm a proud, natural woman. And I feel like I just woke up yesterday and now I can't say that I'm a woman. And if I say I'm black, it's a joke because everybody else has stolen our cultures. So what's left? Like, I can't have people looking at me and thinking or how would I say, associating me with other parts of negative black culture. You can't look at me and some people may not even agree that it's negative, but I'm just saying I don't want you to look at me and then make a correlation to Megan Thee Stallion or Cardi B or Lil' Kim or anything like that. That is such a small percentage of anything close to who we are. Most of us don't even listen to that. I can honestly say, and it's not because of my age, I don't own any Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion. I don't even have Lil' Kim. I might have Lil' Kim's first album from back in the day when she looked like herself, but anything else after that, I don't have. I don't have Nicki Minaj music. I'm not going to play that type of music. It's not even music to me. I don't have Amigos. I don't have Lil Nas X. I don't have any of that. We're not listening to any of that in our cars, in our truck, in our household, nowhere. And I know we're not alone. So I'm having a hard time because the alphabet people are offended by a natural woman. I have a few questions to pose. One, how did you think you got here? How did you think you got here? Because most of us alive today are not the result of a C-section from an artificially inseminated man who was pregnant. Most of us didn't come through that way. People, please, if we can't hold on to being natural, like, it's bad enough you got Monsanto and GMO messing up fruits and vegetables, okay? But, of course, now, yes, you do have the medical associations vying for all types of, how do I call it? To me, it's sexual deviance in a way. Because if I have a son and he tells me at 5 or 6 that he wants to be a little girl, that doesn't mean that I rush him to the emergency room to cut off his penis and give him a fake vagina. That is not what that means. How is it that children are allowed to make such serious decisions about their lives before they turn 12, but they can't vote till they're 18, can't smoke a drink till 21? Somebody help me out. I can get a penis when I'm 12, but I can't get a drink yet. Help me out. Or if I'm a little boy, I can cut off my penis at 14 when you still don't know much. But anyway, I can cut off my penis when I'm 14 and decide to be a girl. And that can happen. But I can't run for no office, and I still can't get a pack of cigarettes. Somebody help me out. And maybe it's me. You know I have a very interesting way of looking at the world, but I've been in the world. I've been all around the world. And so when I hear things and it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, you know, that's when I get a tap on my shoulder from the Most High. I'm like, oh, you got my attention. Something's not right. And everybody was talking about sexual freedom and freedom of choice, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how can you talk about freedom of choice when a woman's right to choose is just taken away by the Supreme Court? But yet my 12-year-old can get a penis if she feels like it. What? And who's paying for these surgeries? Is this covered by CHI? Is this covered by Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Horizon? Somebody tell me something. Is God seeing a covering for when I take my son to lose his penis and get a vagina? Is God seeing a paying for that? Who's paying for that? Is Obamacare paying for that? Is the Affordable Health Care Act covering hormone shots? Talk to me, people. So it's bad enough, like I said before, that most of my cultures, especially my high cultures, ancient cultures, and all types of contributions and what have you to the world, that all gets hijacked. My music gets hijacked. My fashion gets hijacked. Everything gets hijacked by white people. Even though I'm black, but, oh, you black and you ain't nothing because you just come from slaves. No, and you can kiss a whole lot of you know what. And I can't even say I'm a woman. I am a woman. I'm not a pronoun. And I am not attempting to offend anyone who may be homosexual. I am not at all attempting to make fun of or pick on you. No, I'm not. But I am going to state the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, when one is born and the doctors and the nurses and your mommy and daddy look down to see what type of package you got, and they name that package on your birth certificate as male or female, that's what you got. Everything else is a fashion show. Say that. I mean that. I mean that women will go and ace bandage up their breasts and flatten their breasts so they look like a man, wear man's clothes, wear a wife beater, wear some boxer shorts and some pants and get some Tims on and try to be a man all she wants. Okay, that's a fashion show. Same thing with men. Okay, they want to run around in dresses and heels and what have you. Fine, it's a fashion show. Just because you want to wear a dress does not make you a woman. And just because you want to maybe wear a jock strap in your spare time don't make you a man either. Some ain't right. And I do come from the era of call a spade. So I'm calling it as I see it. Now, if you're a very, very pretty man and you look like a woman when you dress in drag and I may mistake you for a woman, oh well, my bad. But if you are identifiably a woman or a man and you are in fashion show mode, I'm going to call it like I see it. This is ridiculous. Now y'all going to jump all over people who want to play natural women. Aretha Franklin is dead. She can't even, speak for herself in regard to the song. The song is beautiful. Looking out at the morning rain, I think, then, wow, I feel so inspired. I used to think something was wrong with me. Wow, like, come on, y'all. But from the day I met you, life is so unkind because you're the key to my peace of mind. You make me feel like a natural woman. Yo, I can sing that to my husband. Don't get mad at me. If the shoe fits, that's a powerful song. No, you can't get mad at it, and you can't take it away. They're actually petitioning Spotify and Pandora not to play the song. What? Yo, I can't. I'm sorry. At this point, the alphabet people are reminding me of a baby that needs to be changed and fed. That's what they're reminding me of, just straight crying, straight whining. Stop. Stop. You pretty much got what you wanted. You can get married. You can do all these other things. Congratulations. That's a good thing for you. Calm down with the Aretha Franklin, okay? Calm down. Because, again, I am a natural woman. I am proud to be a natural woman. And for me, it's just too much, okay? It's like they're reaching. They're reaching, and it's not just desperate, but it's disrespectful. And I'm going to leave it here, until you return with the gender that you desire, because you're going to be back anyway. That is for sure. Don't hate, just wait. And go sit down somewhere with all that other stuff. And again, disclaimer, I am not hating against the LGBTQIA community, a.k.a. alphabet people. I'm not hating against the alphabet people. I'm just being realistic. Okay, this is my great auntie voice. Like, no, go to somewhere and sit down. We're going to take a tangent for a minute because I was wondering if black jaguars actually exist. I know y'all like, what? Yeah, you know the animal, the jaguar. I wanted to know if black ones existed, because I'm always looking for black things. That's just me. And I know that they do exist. So this article that I read was very interesting. I'm going to share some of it with you. While all jaguars do feature rosettes on their gorgeous fur, not all jaguars are a yellow color due to a gene mutation called melanism. Somewhere between 6 and 11% of all jaguars have a black coat decorated with dark rosettes that can sometimes be hard to spot. Even though black jaguars are sometimes referred to as black panthers, they're not a different species. In fact, the term black panther refers to all big cats suffering from melanism. So pardon my pregnant pause, but I took the last sentence of this paragraph, especially the last three words, questionable. Suffering from melanism? Really? Suffering? Why was that word chosen? How are they suffering? Where is the suffering? Help me out. This is one of the episodes, fam. Like, do these big cats get discriminated while shopping? Are they denied loans and restrictions regarding where they live? I just need to understand and overstand why the author of this article used such words in their final explanation of black jaguars and black panthers. Suffering from melanism? Let's just listen. Not today. No, we're not. So I read this on catit.com. And I was only on there because we have a jaguar, not the cat, the vehicle. We have a jaguar. And so in my mind, in the labyrinth of my mind, I got to wondering why such an upscale British car company would choose an animal from Central and South America to be its totem, its logo, the name of the vehicle even. But it also dawned on me that most of the fiercest animals and creatures live outside of Great Britain and all of Europe. So you damn sure ain't going to name your luxury vehicle after a wild boar. You understand what I'm saying? Mind you, there are melanated indigenous people who live in the same areas as the jaguars. Jaguars have been very popular throughout Native American clans and the U.S. Native American clans of the U.S. South and Central and South America itself. It's very real in the culture. You got jaguar totems and statues and what the jaguar means. And sometimes the jaguar means that it could communicate with deceased spirits, all types of things about the jaguar. Okay? It's really deep when you take a moment and observe, you know, our world and what's happening from the macro to the micro. You know, connecting the dots to, like, the big picture from the smaller is really, really important. So that was interesting to me. You know, I guess it's the same reason why there are lions on the coats of arms of British families, knowing good and damn well ain't no lions in Britain. Ain't no lions in Britain. The lions are in Africa. Lions, giraffes. All kind of big game, quote unquote, rhinoceros, potamus, Africa. So, and going back to the author's choice of words, suffering from melanism, that took me for a spin. I was like, damn, I'm just trying to read an article on jaguars, and I got to, once again, have my race triggered, meaning that if you say suffering from melanism, it makes it sound like it's a gross condition, like leprosy or something. The last time I checked, most melanated, deeply melanated animals, as well as humans, are the healthiest on the planet, the most immune to disease and other types of dysfunction, such as arthritis and scurvy and different things like that. Like, the only suffering from melanism that we experience is racism, and that was created by white people. again, racism was created by white people to separate their level of almost like caste to a certain extent, because you had very, very, very poor white people. Not all, you had to be a rich white person in order to have a plantation and to own anything. And you had a lot of impoverished white people, but they made them slave handlers and overseers and things like that. So they still had a higher position than the slave, even though they were literally a hair thin, like, of a difference. But they used color by saying, but you're white, so you're better than anyone who's black anywhere. The slaves, other black people, other places, even freed black people. You already know the stories of freed black men and women that were re-enslaved because whitey just didn't give a damn. And they were lazy as hell and didn't want to work. But we get pitted against each other because you also had good-hearted white people who knew that slavery was terrible, and they were doing everything that they could to get rid of it. The slaveholders did not like that. They did not want other white people who would be quote-unquote nigger lovers to get rid of slavery. They did not want that. And so they just continued to pit white against black and say to poor white people, well, at least you're not a slave. You're better than that. And that mentality exists to this day. To this day. There are some really awesome TED Talks on YouTube about racism done by some white people. Spectacular. Spectacularly very well done. Very well done. There was one white man talking about how he was raised in the South in a racist household, and that he was taught that black people were lazy and drug dealers and on welfare and they were shiftless, blah, 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 blah. And as he grew up, he learned that his own father was a weed dealer and was on food stamps. So the stereotypes that he was told about black people, he was actually living in his own home with a white family. And this is where all that double standard comes from. Because you'll have white people say, "What, black people are lazy, we're all on welfare, we don't want to do anything." But the majority of people who are on welfare in this country are white people. Mind you, the Hasidic population, a lot of them are on welfare. They just don't say nothing about it. But they're on welfare. There are more white people on welfare in this country than there are black and Latino people. Sit on that for a minute. This is why knowledge of self and having knowledge is so important, because they can tell you that and you might believe that, but that is what we call one of the myths of poverty. And when white folk ain't doing too well, they really ain't doing too well. Whereas when black people ain't doing too well, we will shine that sucker up to make it look like we are doing fantastically, even though we don't have a dime in our pocket. But when white folk ain't got no money, baby, white folk ain't got no money. And they look like it and smell like it. Don't get it twisted. So it's deep. You know, and that leads me to my next segment where I'm like, scheme is in play. The scheme is in play. It is in full swing. Full swing. I'm like, precious Lord, too many of us are asleep. We knocked out cold. Or we're awake and we're under a spell. Either way, it doesn't help the situation. Like, in the meantime, a lot of us, you know, also know that a lot of folks just ain't going to make it. And I know I talk about that. Not to be facetious, it's the truth. You know, I give thanks platform because I'm able to reach beautiful people and a wonderful audience of souls that I know are paying attention and listening and trying to grow and trying to do better every day and trying to learn more so they will have knowledge itself. So I appreciate all of you for that. I also thank you for not only spending your Monday evenings with me, but for sharing the episodes with your family and friends, or if you all gather around and listen at the same time. I'm really honored, and I really give thanks for that, because I'm at a point where I feel as if I do not continue to teach, I'm not going to make it. So thank you. And I know that there are more and more people waking up all over the world. And for some people, it's dangerous to be conscious, you know. But when you are up, you're up like a purposeful insomniac, okay? You're up. I've been up for a long time. That's why it is hard for me to sleep. But because once you're really up, it's hard to go back to sleep, okay? So we know that they're really tripping these days, because they're removing all the African American and Native American history in school books and in school programs. So it's bad enough that we would have to wait until now, Black History Month, February, to delve into Black history. You know, it's bad enough that we would have to, everything would just get focused on February. You know, I give thanks for the fact that when I was a school teacher, I would always give credit to Africans and African Americans in my lessons, depending on what we were working on, so that my students knew African history throughout the year. I'm tying it into everything I'm teaching, especially when I was teaching science, or if I was teaching English or even social studies. I had a ball with it to come out of teaching, because I knew they were going to fire me, and look at what they're doing now. They were really getting rid of me now. You know, I'm not sure if you all are aware, if you're noticing the erasure of us. I don't know if you're noticing that, but I know I'm seeing it quite clearly. And I actually broke down last week. I broke down in tears. I could not hold it in anymore, because I just had this feeling of theft and illusion. You know, they're stealing our cultures. Again, like I said, God forbid we start talking about we're Native American. God forbid we start talking about we're original Jews, and that some of us are still Jews, or we're still Hebrew Israelites. God forbid. God forbid I want to go to Giza Plateau and say my great-great ancestors helped to build these pyramids. Our great ancestor created the idea of a pyramid, which is a Merkaba, not a pyramid. Pyramid means mountain of fire. P-Y-R means fire. M-I-B means mountain. So we created the Merkaba. We created all these temples and the first universities all over, the first university not just in Africa, but in Europe. Black people. But they want to steal it all. They don't even want to have a conversation about the Moors. God forbid we start talking about the Moors. Oh, my, my. And the Moors were also called Black Amor. Like, you could not refute the fact that the Moors were black. Nonetheless, they are stealing our culture, and then they are going to miseducate, do more miseducation now than ever before. And so it kind of came on me like a ton of bricks. I was very, very upset, because, again, I come from the lineage of Black studies teachers. My mother was a Black studies teacher. Coincidentally and interestingly enough, she actually taught my husband's brothers in grade school. This was before my husband and I ever knew each other. My mother was an advocate for African studies throughout the Board of Education in New York City, period. She established African studies in Queens. in the little public schools of Queens, 34, PS 26. My mother was everywhere. And bless her heart, because I went to predominantly white schools, but she was always the president of the PTA when I was in school. And she made sure with her beautiful, beautiful dark skin, amazing white smile, sparkling teeth, beautiful eyes, a fierce head wrap and some dope earrings, and she would let them white people and them white Jewish women know what time it was every day. She and her cohorts, other teachers, other black teachers, other white Jewish teachers, they made it happen. They instituted gifted programming throughout the entire district. They did so much so that little children who look like me would know who they were before they even turned 10. And it was so prominent that throughout my mother's entire life, her students would send her Christmas cards and other greeting cards, or they would send her their latest book that they had written or their latest illustration project that they had done, whatever their accolade. They stayed in touch with my mother for the rest of her life. Now, that's the teacher for you. The fact that they always remained in contact with my mother, and she would have them come over to our house when I was a young girl, and they would play music and have food, and we'd sit around talking about African studies and what have you. And they were just a little bit older than me. To get her having to come to school to fight for me because my teachers didn't believe that I went to Greece or I went to Italy or I went to Israel even. They wouldn't, or Spain. They didn't believe it. And my mother would have to come and fight for me. And she would show up and show out in the most beautifully eloquent way. And so to see all that hard work that she and her contemporaries did, to see all that hard work just get blown away by some egotistical white supremacist little penis having people, and I'm serious, to have all of that taken away for all of a sudden now we don't have African studies in school, which will make it even worse for black children. She's got a little funky 28 days with Black History Month if you lived in a rural area, or if you lived in Florida or Texas somewhere, you got a piece of it. Now they don't want anybody to have any of it. Do you know how detrimental that will be to the state of Black America? We're in trouble. And so I'm really excited that the attorney, Benjamin Crump, the same attorney for the Tyre Nichols case, is actually suing certain states and letting them know, I am going to sue you. You better put African studies back into your curriculum. I do not care. You better put it back. And so I'm definitely standing with him on that mission. I think we need to get a little bit proactive on this family. You know, we need to write, we need to petition, maybe we need to hit up some Congress people and be like, no, you can't allow them to do this. You cannot take African studies out of school. You cannot take Native American studies out of school. And Lord knows, most schools would barely even touch Native American studies. So it put a little more fire under me, but it definitely hurt my feelings and it touched me, and I could just hear my mother and her friends, you know, going to bat against this and going to fight like hell against this. This is wrong. This is so wrong. You know, again, I say maybe this is affecting me in this way because I was raised in an African-conscious household. My grandparents were Garveyites. You know, I grew up never feeling inferior or less than. You know, and I also never believed, like I said before, that the white man's ice was colder or that white women were prettier than I was or anything. I only wanted long hair, and I was able to achieve the long hair when I grew my locks past my knees. You know, in fact, I'm the opposite of most folks. I want to get as black as I can when I'm out in the sun. I can't stand it if someone calls me light skin. And I know I'm an odd one, okay? I'm brown, but I don't like being called light skin. You know, again, I'm different. But I cherish who we truly are. I cherish our blackness. I cherish how miraculous and magical we are. And even though there are mechanisms in play to discredit us and to frustrate us and maybe even cause us to commit acts of violence, we just have to hold on to each other. We have to hold on to the truth, and we have to hold on to each other, and we have to be strong. And we must let them know, no, it ain't cool, and I'm not down with it. We've got to let them know. Even if you write your own Board of Education wherever you are, or you write the Board of Education in these various states that are really, really pushing more than others. But we can't just let it fly. We can't. I'm sorry. And I know I won't. I will not. Nonetheless, we still have drama, right? Have y'all heard about the Talib Kweli incident? Okay, he was kicked off American Airlines, and he wasn't alone. There were other incidences with another black comedian and another female personality who were also kicked off of American Airlines flights, quote unquote, due to passenger discomfort. Now, in each of the incidences that I saw, stewardess, and I'm saying stewardess even though it was a man, and he sounded really gay, no offense. It's as if these artists were being picked on. And then when they refuted and were like, no, the stewardess got extra, called for police to come. I know on Talib Kweli's incident, they called the police to come and escort him off the plane. He didn't do anything. He had a carry-on bag that was collapsible because he had some hats in it. And he was like, okay, well, if I take the hats out, then the bag will fit under the seat. And the stewardess was just so uppity. This particular case is a female stewardess. She was just too much. And I guess they just go and run and tell the other stewardesses, so it becomes like a big incident, and it makes it seem like that individual could possibly harm someone. Now, first of all, each of the individuals that I saw being escorted off of these American Airlines flights, they're not big people at all. Talib Kweli is not a big man. He's not even 5'10". He's not tall. He's not muscular. He doesn't have a large build. The other comedian, I can't remember his name. Oh, my God, and I can see his face. Anyway, very thin, okay, not a lot of body mass. And the other one was a young female. Again, very thin. She might have been 115, 120 pounds. Threat. Like, they trying to treat black people like they're the shoe bomber because there's a little bit of a conversation or maybe there's a disagreement. Since when did the stewardess become Jesus? Somebody help me out. I've been flying my entire life. When did the stewardess become God on the plane? There's something not right. And American Airlines, if you're listening, you ain't got to worry about me booking nothing on your airline anytime soon. And I will also let my people know, don't book a flight with American Airlines anytime soon. Anytime soon. Again, we've got to act like Montgomery, Alabama, y'all. We've got to stop putting our money with entities that are disrespectful and mean to us. Real talk. We literally can't afford to keep giving our money to institutions that devalue us as human beings. We have to stop that. And all three of these particular passengers were above gold status with the airline. airline. You know how they have silver, gold, and platinum, and diamond, and all of that? They were high-ranking in their status with the airline because they fly all the time. But yet and still, none of that was taken into consideration. They were harassed, embarrassed, and escorted off of their flights over nothing. So I know, personally, nah, I ain't booking with American no time soon. Y'all can keep all your whatever. You can keep it. I'm not the one. I'm not for it. I don't want to be bothered with it. Same thing happened with Louis Vuitton back in the day when I heard the CEO saying very clearly in English with a French accent that we do not make our products for niggas. I don't want no Louis Vuitton. I don't need no Louis Vuitton. I don't even mess with LVMH, which is Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy. None of those are in my home. None of those do I purchase. I want no parts of any of it. Do not give me a shot of Hen Dog. No, thank you. I'm not popping Moet with you. No. No, 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 no. Gucci lost me, which pissed me off because I was digging Gucci. But Gucci lost me when they put out that ski mask with the big, like, mammy lips on a ski hat. Like, these people and these companies, they think that they're slick. Because they have a lot of money doesn't mean they're smart. They're stupid. And so it's up to us to pull back and not patronize these companies. That's like you went to the bodega and you went to buy a turkey and cheese hero and the man making your sandwich slapped the living daylights out of you. Are you going back to get another sandwich? Are you really going back there to get another sandwich? Or are you going to just walk to the next corner and go to the next bodega to get the turkey and cheese sandwich because you're not going to allow somebody to slap you and you continue to patronize them? That's how I look at these particular incidents. That is how I look at these incidents, fam. So be careful where you shop and what you do and who you patronize. And you can clearly let them know, I'm not patronizing you because of Blase Skippy. You can be clear with that. You could take 10 of your friends and go into a Gucci store on Fifth Avenue and tell them, we will not shop here, and we have told everyone we know not to shop here because you have been insensitive and racially discriminatory against people of color. Bye. So, in closing, I want to talk about something kind of interesting. Hopefully y'all are still with me and you're hanging in there. Let me see. All right. Okay. So some of y'all are still with me. Okay. Tonight, before we go, we're going to discuss a little bit about Yaqub and a very different theory on how the races came into being. Some of you may be aware of this already. If any of you are familiar with or involved or members of the Nation of Islam or even people who used to be involved with Dr. Malachi Z. York back in the day with the tabernacle and what have you, he also explained this same story. And so I learned about this particular theory about 30 years ago. It was interesting because, like I said, I didn't just get it from one source. So that definitely held my attention about this particular story because I had never heard of it prior to then, and it's not necessarily a household conversation these days. So I'm going to do my best to break it down. Yaqub, Y-A-C-O-U-B, Yaqub, was a scientist from over 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. Up until his experimentation, the entire human population of the earth was of melanin-dominant people, a.k.a. black people, all over the world. For over 700,000 years plus, the people of the world were black. And then came Yaqub. He was a man who wanted to create an opposite human. He used that term, opposite. Now, he himself had a very large head and was often teased by others for having his big head. And this might also be a basis for creating another kind of people, because all there were was just black people. Sounds ideal and fantastic to me, but moving forward, it was as if he had a sense of self-hatred. And so he wanted to create the antithesis of a black person, the actual extreme opposite of a black person. So he basically bred the melanin out of humans until he got to a white-skinned, melanin-recessive people. Now, you've heard of the term albinism. People who are albino lack melanin. They lack any type of melanin on the outside of their skin. They don't even have melanin in their eyes. The first albino was born where? In Africa. Albinism is an actual thing, which is why the albinos exist. People who are born with no pigmentation. This is why it is said that we as black people can give birth, cannot ever create a black baby. Are you following me? All other colors of people come from us, black people. And that makes perfect sense because it is the color black from which all other colors come from, whether it's a crayon box or a group of individuals. It's the same. All colors come from black. So when he came across an albino, he would allow that albino to grow to puberty, and then after puberty, around maybe the age of 20, he would mate them with another darker-skinned person, and then hoping that that baby or that offspring would be a lighter person. Then you take the lighter baby from that offspring and breed it again with another albino so that you're literally getting rid of the melanin content in the skin of the person. So humanity went from melanoid to rubenoid to citrinoid to albinoid. Melanoid, melanated, deep brown black people. Rubenoid, red-skinned people. Citrinoid, yellow-skinned people. And albinoid, white-skinned people. It took him a little over 600 years for this grafting process to be complete. Then it is said that he gave the white man 6,000 years to reign on earth until the recoming of God. Now, this term also correlates to God giving the devil 6,000 years to reign until he's put back into hell forever. So I find these correlations very interesting. And for the record, time is up on both. What a wonderful time to be alive. Now, other than the Jacobian theory about how white people came into being, you've got the Nibiru and the Anunnaki creation story, which goes way back, millennia, okay? Some of it is actually in Genesis, in the Bible. So it gets deep. Nibiru is a planet in our solar system. It spends most of its time in deep space, way out past Pluto. However, it has an elliptical orbit, meaning that its orbit is oblong, not centrifugal. It's like a slingshot type of orbit. So it takes Nibiru a little over 2,000 years to make one full rotation around the sun, one full orbit around the sun. So it is in our solar system. It's just that it goes way out into deep space, and then it comes back. Now, Nibiru is called Wormwood in the Bible. It's also been called the Destroyer, the 10th planet, and Planet X. You can research these for yourself, and you can also look up some of the Nibiruan information from Zachariah Sitchin, who was an author that discovered much, even relating to the flood of Gilgamesh and Ezekiel, different things like that. Anyway, the Anunnaki are the individuals that inhabit Nibiru. Anunnaki means the faithful or the followers of Anu. Anu was the king of Nibiru. Yes, the king of the whole planet. Stay with me. He was king because he had won a very serious battle against a formidable adversary from the Orion star system. Anu also had several children, and they were very, very important people. The daughter was named Ninhursag, or Ninti. She was a master scientist and geneticist. The two sons were named Enlil, and his younger brother was Enki. And the names of the sons will change over time. But it has been said that Ninti and Enki genetically altered the DNA of the Homo erectus human being into being Homo sapien. And this was done in order to provide a workforce to extract gold from inner earth. They use gold to keep their atmosphere bright because when they go into deep space, it's very, very dark. So they use gold specks in their atmosphere to capture light and hold it around the planet so it's not so dark. Real talk. Stay with me. They had originally attempted to use their own people as well as people from Mars who were called Igigi. To Nibiru, Earth is hot and the days are short, and the Anunnaki did not want to do the work, so they quit. So Enlil was panicked because he felt his father would literally kill him if the mission failed. This is when Enki and Ninti decided to alter the DNA of the Homo erectus that was already on the planet. And again, this is black people. We're still black. Hi. Okay. So in order to be sapien, sapien means that you have a level of consciousness. You have a level of consciousness. You have empathy. You have, may even have a spirituality about yourself. You may believe that there is something greater than yourself, outside of yourself, that you're a part of. That is being sapien. Homo erectus just means that you're standing upright and walking on 2 feet. When they infuse their DNA into ours, some of this is even in the rib story, like y'all cannot be bright enough, or dumb enough, sorry, to believe that a woman was created from the rib of a man. Please stop. That did not happen. Although they did use the DNA from the rib of Adam to mix with their DNA to make another individual that would be able to procreate. Because when the Anunnaki first created the humans couldn't procreate. They could have sex, but they did not have the DNA strands to enable them to procreate. So Enki mixed his DNA with the rib of Adamu or Adapa, which was one of the first entities that they had created to create the female. But that is not the same as saying that God took a rib out of Adam and made a woman. No. Things get jacked up. Okay, so stay with me. So, again, they created humans. Okay, we are Homo sapiens. All right? But we were Homo erectus when they arrived. Do you remember Australopithecus and Cro-Magnon Man, even Java Man? These are all predecessors of the Homo sapiens. And according to most archaeologists, the time span between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens is quite short. It's actually the shortest of all evolutionary processes in any mammal. Stay with me. So they like to say that there's a missing link. But this particular story provides that link. All right, I'm not going to go too deep. But as I said, they infused their DNA with our DNA. But they didn't give us all of their capabilities because they also have kinetic psychological abilities that some of us as humans do utilize. We all have it, but we don't use it. They also have a different gland in the back of their head. If you feel in the back of your head and you, at the bottom, at the base, and there's like that space in between, that little space, there used to be a gland there. And that gland was called the Barynthium gland. And that Barynthium gland allowed you to have telepathic and kinetic type of powers. So that's been atrophied in us over time, even though you do have some human beings that are able to telepathically project and move things kinetically with their minds. You do have people who know how to do that. And we evolved so quickly that now we've reached a place where we've been able to achieve other feats. You know, if you look at the magician David Blaine and you look at other individuals, we're not talking about illusionists, we're talking about people that actually can control and bend matter or time. And so we have people on the planet that know how to do that. And again, these are melanin-dominant people. Just got to put that out there. But during the Golden Age, the ancient African world surpassed technological advancements, okay, that we can't even do today. For instance, we can't recreate the Great Pyramids, and we have glyphs of spaceships and helicopters and airplanes over temple doorways in our black ancient Kemet. But although we have helicopters and airplanes and stuff today, all of us as a whole, we do not possess those particular abilities in ways where we're actually using them. Most of us are not lifting cars with our minds and telepathically communicating very, very clearly with other individuals on the other side of the planet. Most of us are not doing that. But we knew how to do it. Okay? And even when I talk about the goddess Bess, you know, on temple walls playing the saxophone or guitar or flute, other instruments, you know, these things are tens of thousands of years old. And we actually did that. So I want to say through this particular interaction of giving us their DNA and splicing our DNA and infusing theirs with ours, we are like little superheroes. Again, we're talking about black people. So we are like little superheroes because we can do whatever we put our mind to. Like, think about that when you first watched, like, Michael Jordan back in the day, and to the point where they named the sneaker Air Jordans. He could fly through the air. No one was doing that before him. Think about the first person to actually dunk a basketball. It wasn't done back in the day. So we evolve and we advance and we grow. Even tens of thousands of years ago, we were performing surgery on the brain and the heart. Successful. And that was if it was absolutely necessary, because the ancient Kemetans used sound therapy to heal the body, which is why music is so important. Music, again, can either make you feel really good or make you feel scared or kill you. Seriously. Because it's all about a vibration, and it's about energy. Your whole body is like a speaker. So when you hear music, it's going to resonate in the body in a certain type of way. And as I mentioned before, unfortunately, the machine has figured that out, and they're using black music against black people. And when I say black music, I mean the nasty, horrible music that's on the radio, on mainstream radio, like Hot 97 and Kiss FM, you know, and radio stations that supposedly just play black music, not old school black music like WBLS, but, you know, like they'll play the Migos, they'll play Lil Nas X, they'll play Cardi B, and they'll play everybody that's just horrible and debaucherous to us. They'll play that. But that type of music is dangerous and very detrimental. Very, very dangerous. The vibration itself is so horrible and hypnotic, it's bad. But most people don't know that. Again, knowledge reigns supreme. So when I say that the ancient Kemetans used sound therapy to heal the body, the three small pyramids at the side of the Great Pyramid are actual sound chambers where they would emit certain tones that would be correspondent to certain organs and parts of the body, and they would ring those tones to heal and or mend those particular organs or parts of the body. This is how dope we really are. So although Yaqub was successful in creating, if this is true, because you also have the differentiation model, and differentiation means that, okay, you have people that come out of Africa, but they go into Europe, and it's dark, and there's no sun, there's no vitamin D, they're too inland, they can't get freshwater fish, which is rich in vitamin D, and so they begin to lose vitamin D, and they begin to lose pigmentation. Eventually, over some time, they begin to whiten. Their hair follicles begin to straighten, to come down and protect the neck and the cerebral cortex all over. Not just that, but they then grew hair on their bodies to keep themselves warm. We don't need body hair in Africa. So whichever theory you decide to accept, the one that reigns true through and through is that because these particular people lost their melanin, whether it was bred out or differentiation or whatever, climate and what have you, the loss of melanin in the skin changes the energetic vibration of the human. So white people who do not have melanin in their skin in a dominant way, they are not melanin dominant, they're melanin recessive. This is why they don't have rhythm. This is why they lack muscle structure. This is why they don't have the same strength that we have. Nowadays, they kind of do, but not innately. They got to work hard to get it. Whereas I can find any 17-year-old young black boy, and he's got the muscle structure of a man. He might not even have facial hair yet, but his body is developing similar to a grown man because he's a melanin-dominant man. Like, our bodies are very interesting. Even the buttocks of black women, the protruding buttocks of black women, which also became a fashion statement, and now you got white women everywhere putting implants into their butt cheeks to have a black woman's butt. The reason why our butts protrude is because we walked upright. The reason why the quote-unquote melanin recessive human has such a flat behind is because they did not walk upright for a while. Certain groups of people in Europe still who are walking on all fours. Look it up. So if you're walking on all fours, when you do eventually stand up, you're not going to have a protruding buttocks. just look at the muscle definition. Look at the bone structure. It's just completely different. And we have way more vitamin D inside of us than they do in them. And we also possess the ability to synthesize vitamin D when we sit in the sunshine. They don't synthesize vitamin D. They cannot synthesize vitamin D. Only a melanin dominant person can synthesize vitamin D, which is why they have so many issues with their spine, bone structure, arthritis, different things at young ages. Young. There was a little girl, I think she was like 5 years old, and she had arthritis. White girl. So we're very different in different ways. I'm never going to be the one that the kumbaya, like, oh, we're all the same. We're all the same. We are not the same. And it's okay, but we're not. Again, we've been here so long, child. Mm-mm. We've been here. We've been in the water, on the land, in the mountains. We've been everywhere. Everywhere. Okay? So no matter how you slice it, melanated, melanin-dominant peoples were and still are the first humans on this planet. And yeah, we created civilization, not colonization. There's a difference. And let's not forget about our good old friend, Zinjanthropus. 700,000-year-old skeleton bones found in Africa. 700,000 years. I think Lucy is 450,000 years. Like, the more you dig, the blacker it gets, baby. The more you dig, the blacker it gets. So with everything happening, I'm going to do my best to hold on. I'm going to do my best to keep my torch raised until I do pass it to a younger person. I will continue to make it my life's work that I continue to do research on Black history worldwide, that I continue to buy books and keep books that show us our illustrious contributions to the world. I will continue with this show by the grace. It's not called Black Alice in Wonderland Radio Show by mistake. I know I'm sad to take you all down that rabbit hole. I know I do. I thank you all for coming down there with me. But no matter what, we always going to dig down deep and come up sweet, okay? Knowledge reigns supreme. Never lose sight of it. Program your children with it. Give them a hunger and a thirst for wanting to know more about who they are than who somebody else is. Those of you who have children in school, they're constantly researching and learning about other people. Please make sure that they are learning and researching about themselves. Even if you want to go so far as to try to trace your lineage back to the motherland through Black AfricanAncestry.com, not Ancestry.com, because that's BS. AfricanAncestry.com is really powerful. Now, I also wish that they would be able to trace lineage here in the United States for all of our brothers and sisters with Native American lineage. There are millions of us. I would love for the results of those DNA tests to say, yes, indigenous to North America. Even if you can't give me the try, that would be really nice. But again, Get your learn on, fam. Get your research on. Do your thing. Okay, again, research the Grand Canyon and try to find the article from the Arizona Gazette of 1908. This is when they found all these Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon. Look into Monk's Mound, which is the largest pyramid in North America, and it's in Chicago. Queen Khalifa, for which California is named after. Black woman, Queen Khalifa. Learn things. Oh, I really appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. I know that, oh, hey, Sister Dawn, I see you. I know I gave you all a lot to chew on, but I got an attitude, and we can't lose our family, please. We can't lose ourselves, okay? So be brilliant, be bright. Have a wonderful week ahead. Be kind and gentle to each other. Be loving. Please protect the elderly and the babies. Watch out for us, y'all. We watch out for each other. All right? And please educate your children and your grandchildren on the glory of who we are so that they do not grow up to be one of those five police officers that took that man's life. Educate your children. Educate yourself. Empower yourself. Knowledge reigns supreme. Like I said before, on the top of the temple doorways in all the universities in Kemet, Siaek Petu Neteru, and that means, man, know thyself, and ye shall know of the universe and its gods. Learn it. Learn up, fam. Learn up. Thank you so much for being with me this week. I love you all. Thank you. Again, I also have to thank all of my beautiful, wonderful supporters, Dawn, Kier, Barbara, Carla, Laura. There's so many of you. I thank you so much for being with me. Thank you, Dr. Winborn and Reverend Ron Robinson, for this platform. And again, I give thanks to the Most High for breathing and being and knowing what I know. I give thanks. I also give thanks to my beautiful husband for supporting me and allowing me time to do all the research away from him. I know sometimes I disappear, but I always come back. And if you need to listen to some beautiful music, he has a dope new mix up on SoundCloud. So go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, C-O-N-T-R-O-L-L. The newest mix, I think, is number 161. Let's Boogie in 2023. Really hot mix. They're all amazing. So get your life, listen to some good music, and feel good. The better you feel, the better you do. Be love, be light, family. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina. Thank you so much for all of your time. One love and peace, blessings, and light. Peace, fam. Love you. Peace.